verses 25 to 30. So Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. The Father revealed in the Son. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal to him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Okay. So just pray for Mike. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your servant Mike. And we just pray, Lord Jesus, that you will equip him and that you will anoint him to be able to share what you've placed on his heart. And Lord, we pray for us too, that you will open our eyes to see more clearly, to see you more clearly, and that you will soften our hearts that we might receive your word and act upon it. Amen.
Amen. We're beginning a new series today called The Promises of Jesus. And we're going to look at the first one today, which is the promise that Jesus makes to give us rest. And I'm just going to touch a little bit about what that means, what rest means and how we can have this rest that Jesus promises. Now, we live in a world, if you're not already aware, that is very, very restless. You know, and there's a lot of uncertainty around. You know, there's Brexit, there's the stuff in Syria, there's the invasion by Turkey, the USA is just, a lot of its allies and whatever don't know whether they're coming or going in their relationship. You've got Russia coming in and seizing every opportunity to sort of make new friends and create havoc, etc. There's lots of uncertainty, lots of restlessness wherever we look, wherever we turn in our world. And Augustine said, Augustine was a man who was quite wayward. He had a praying mother, the power of prayer. His mother prayed for him for years and years and years. He went off on his merry way and lived a very profligate life where he just immersed himself in the pleasures of this world in order to find rest and joy and satisfaction. And Augustine, in the end, he turned back to Christ and he became a great man of God, and his mother prayed for him for years for that to happen. And Augustine says this about restlessness. He says, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you, God. Until they find their rest in you. And Augustine knew this from his own experience, that he sought rest and peace and consolation in everything that the world offered, but he couldn't find it. And in the end, he had to turn back to Christ because that's where he could find true and complete rest. And it's the same for us as well. Oh, let's put that back up. Those of us who have gone down that path will probably know it to be true, that as we seek to find pleasure in what the world offers, it may satisfy us for a short while, but long term it leaves a gaping hole and a longing in our hearts. The human heart is full of longings. We want to be loved, we want to succeed, we want to be happy, we want to be independent, we want security, we want excitement, we want revenge sometimes. All of us are moved by the desires and the restlessness of our hearts, of our spirit. Our hearts are restless as human beings. That's why we live with constant questions about ourselves. Some of us may be asking about ourselves all the time. Am I a good mother? Oh, am I a good father? Am I a good husband? Am I a good wife? Am I a good enough Christian? Am I in the right job? Am I in the right church? Am I in the right relationship? And so on and so on. Our hearts are restless. There's a constant stirring and aching all the time. So where did this human restlessness begin? We have the next PowerPoint, please. You can trace human restlessness all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where Satan made two false promises. Number one, he said, you won't die. To the man and the woman, he said, you won't die. And the second was that you will know what is good and what is evil. And with these promises, the serpent enlisted the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, in his rebellion. And Adam and Eve decided to forfeit the perfect peace, the perfect rest that they had with God by siding with the devil and allowing sin and separation from God to enter into the world. And where they had perfect rest and peace, now they had restless hearts and turmoil. And as a consequence, where they walked with God, they were now hiding from God. And we see that in our world all over the place today, don't we? People hiding from God. They label it in different ways, but they're hiding from God. Where there was a close personal relationship with God, there was now separation from God. Where there was love and innocence in Adam and Eve's relationship with one another, now there was suspicion and there was blame and there was guilt in the relationship. Where their hearts had peace, their hearts now had turmoil. And the restlessness and the turmoil of the human heart has been our condition ever since. Thanks, Adam and Eve, for that. That was their legacy to us. And I want us to look at two things this morning just to help us to understand how we can have this rest that Jesus speaks of and what it might look like. First is, in order to have this rest, we need to know who promises this rest and how reliable they are, i.e. Jesus, knowing Jesus. We need to know Jesus and we need to know that he's reliable enough to deliver. And the second thing I want us to look at is that in order to have this rest, if we've established that Jesus is reliable enough, then we need, in order to have this rest, we need to come to Jesus. The rest doesn't just come to us. So first thing, knowing who Jesus is he trustworthy? Can he deliver this rest? Because a promise is only as good as the trustworthiness of the person making it. The credibility of this promise rests entirely on the capacity of Jesus Christ to deliver the rest that he says he will. And I want you to see this morning why Jesus is able to deliver this remarkable promise, that he has the the qualifications, as it were, to deliver this. And first and foremost, the reason that he can deliver this rest that he promises is that God always works through his Son. So God will always work through Jesus Christ. That's why when people reject Christ, they reject God. They may have some sort of God or some likeness to the God of Jesus Christ, but it's not the same one. Because if you reject Christ, then you reject the Word of God. Because God always works through his Son, Jesus Christ. Matthew 11:27 says, "All things have been committed to me by the Father." All things, not some things, all things. What has the Father committed to the Son? All things. The Father always works through the Son. So when God created the world, how did he create it? Through his Son. We read, "In the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And through him, the Word, Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made." When God speaks, he speaks through his Son. Peter says that the Old Testament prophets tried to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them, Old Testament times now, but the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing. So the word of God spoken by the prophets came through the Spirit of Christ that was within them. God speaks, God brings salvation. How? Through his Son, Jesus Christ. When God saves, he saves through his Son. That's what communion was about earlier on. For God so loved the world, John 3 tells us, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What about judgment? When God judges, he judges through his Son. Judgment is in the hands of Jesus Christ. John 5, verse 22. The Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. So God always works through his Son. He always has, and he always will. All things have been committed to the Son by the Father. So therefore, what that tells us is that we have absolute confidence that Jesus is able to deliver what he promises. He will deliver what he promises because all things have been committed to him by the Father. So if Jesus says he can bring you rest, then we can rest assured that he can do exactly what he promises. So it's important to know who this Jesus is and why we can trust him. The second thing we need to know about acquiring rest is that we need to come to Jesus. Can I have the next slide? Verse 29, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Come to me. There's something for you and for me to do. Come to me. He tells us to come. Something we have to do. We have to make a movement. We have to come to Jesus Christ. Some people say you find rest by living a moral life and following the disciplines of faith. That's what a lot of monks do, and when they cut themselves off from society and put themselves in in monasteries, etc. And there's a lot of good things about that, but that in itself, as in of itself, will not bring you rest. Jesus doesn't say, come and practice spiritual disciplines and they will give you rest. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. Jesus here was speaking to the most religious people in the world whose faith had become a burden to them. They were doing their best to live godly lives, but they felt crushed by their own attempts in trying to please God. They were trying to please God through their own works, through their own activities, and find rest and peace through that. And they found out that they were failing miserably. Some of us are weary and burdened by the sheer pressure of trying to live up to a standard of godliness, to trying to be a good enough Christian for God. And we're exhausted by it. We're exhausted by it. You're doing your best, but your life is a relentless treadmill and you're feeling weary. And Jesus says to you, come to me. Rest is my gift to you. It's not something that you're going to earn. It's my gift to you. It's not about your striving to find rest. You will never find that through striving. He's not saying add more spiritual disciplines, good and great though they are, but he's not saying they as in of themselves will give you rest. Other people say, so spiritual disciplines, you won't find rest in those. They're good things to have and put in place for your Christian life, but as in of themselves, they won't bring you rest. Other people say, the only way that you'll find rest is by following the impulses of your heart. What your heart draws you to, go with that, and then you'll find rest and peace, surely, because that's what your heart's desire is. The assumption is that your heart knows what's good and what's evil and what's best for you. Well, if that was the case, then I was reading and looking up some documentaries recently of drug cartels in Mexico and in Colombia. And their desires of their heart is to dominate the drug trade and to make as many millions and have as much control and power as they possibly can, irrespective of the cost and the bloodshed and the pain and the evil that's caused. That's their heart's desire. That's the impulse of their heart. That is what draws them But they're not going to find rest and peace in that, because the heart cannot always differentiate between what is good and what is evil. We can't do that. Friends, if you follow the impulses of your heart, your life will always be restless, because it will always be drawn to something else. Our hearts are restless by nature. It's our legacy from our first parents. You won't find rest in spiritual disciplines, great though those things are, and you won't find rest in the impulses of your heart, because your heart will then always point you or draw you to something else. Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." Give it to you. Why does Jesus say, "Come to me"? Why doesn't he just say, "Believe in me and I will give you rest"? Isn't it the same thing? Well, the devil believes in Jesus, but he will not come to him. He will not trust him. He will not put himself under the feet of Jesus. He will not come under the lordship of Jesus, but he certainly believes in him. All the demons knew who Jesus was, and they cried out, testifying to who he was, as they were being cast out by him. When Christ says, "Come to me," he's saying that there is something for you to do. There is a movement, there is a change of direction that you have to take in order for this rest to be gifted to you. The prodigal son, that's what he found out, wasn't it? He went off, took his father's inheritance and went and to find rest and peace and good time. He squandered all the money, and then he was just miserable and in turmoil. And he realized that the only way to have some semblance of peace and rest was to go back to the Father. He believed that if he turned back to his father, that his father would give him a job, that his father would give him a roof over his head. He believed all that stuff. But until he actually got on the road and made his way to the Father and came to him, none of those things could have been acted on. So believing is not always enough. We need to repent. We need to commit. We need to align ourselves with the will of Christ. Put ourselves under the lordship. The problem is, some of us put our lives under the lordship of just let certain areas of our lives under the lordship of Christ. And things that we don't like or are too difficult or too uncomfortable, we choose to keep and go our own way. We need to put everything under the lordship of Christ. And then secondly, here in coming to Jesus, Jesus says this strange thing, which is hardly an encouragement to come to him. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." Can we have the next PowerPoint? Jesus puts coming to him in another way here. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me," he says. He's saying the same thing in a different way, because he's making the same promise here. He's saying, when you take my yoke, it will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls, verse 29. So the condition is stated in two different ways here. Come to me and you'll find rest, or take my yoke upon you and you'll find rest. What do I have to do to find rest? Well, one way of saying it is come to Christ. Another way of saying it is commit to Jesus Christ. These are two ways of saying the same thing. Coming to Christ involves taking his yoke upon you. The yoke was a wooden beam that tied two animals together so that they walked and worked in tandem and made it easier to do the job because there was two of them. It made pulling the weight easier because two of them could pull it, pull the beam that they were pulling in tandem, etc. And I need to say here, when you look at this yoke, that you need to be very careful what you get yoked to in life. Be very careful what you yoke yourself to in life. Be very careful to the people you yoke yourself to. Be very careful to the organizations you yoke yourself to. You will feel its weight. You will feel its busyness. You will feel whatever it may be, whether it be friendships, whether it be your marriage, maybe another relationship. You've got to ask yourself the question, what am I tying myself to here? What am I tying myself to here? It's very easy, very easy. I've lost track of the amount of people that have rushed into relationships for the wrong reasons. They've yoked themselves and it's come unstuck all too quickly. Be very careful what you yoke yourself to. Jesus says, take my yoke on you. Bind yourself to me. Walk with me. Coming to Christ means taking his yoke upon you. This is not merely something that happens when you first come to Jesus Christ. It can be a daily thing. It's an enduring commitment that you're yoked to Jesus Christ, first and foremost, above all else. Coming to Christ, being yoked with Christ, means putting every area of your life under his lordship. He cannot just be Saviour, he has to be Lord as well. It's Lord and Saviour. Anything apart from that is simply lukewarm Christianity. And those of you who know me, I hate lukewarm Christianity. It is one of my pet hates, and I can't tolerate it. And I don't have a lot of time for lukewarm Christians. The Revelation says, I will spit you out of my mouth. It's quite strong language that the Lord uses. He said, if you're lukewarm, I'll just spit you out of my mouth. You're neither one thing nor the other. At least if you don't claim to follow Jesus, at least we know where you stand. But please don't stand somewhere in the middle. Don't do that, because that's just lukewarm. And the Lord says, I'll just spit you out of my mouth. You cannot expect to experience Christ's rest if you're outside of his will, if he's not Lord of your situation. You cannot expect God's blessing or God's rest in that situation. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And you say, well, that sounds like it's going to be really tough, Mike. Maybe you're thinking, look, I'm struggling enough as it is, thank you very much. And now you're telling me that Jesus wants to put some yoke around my neck as well. What sort of, that's not a really good selling point, Mike. Do you think, let me ask you a question then, if that's what you're thinking. Do you think that your life would be easier without Jesus Christ? Do you feel that if you cut loose from Jesus Christ, your restless heart would be free? If this is what you think about God, that if you draw near to Jesus Christ, that he will not be able to wait to lay some sort of great load on you, if you think that God is in the business of laying burdens on you, you have completely misunderstood the character and the love of God. Listen to what Jesus says. I am gentle and humble in heart. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus tells us to take his yoke upon us. In ancient times when people carried a load, they would carry a wooden yoke like that. And they could, for example, they would carry two buckets. And by having that, they could have a bucket on each side. And it made it possible to carry burdens that they couldn't have carried otherwise by having this yoke on them. Similarly with the oxen, as I said earlier, they would be yoked together to help plow a field, combining the strength of the two animals made the planting much easier for everyone. Can we have the next slide, please? There they are. Makes it easier. And Jesus, what Jesus is saying here, is inviting us to walk with him and share his yoke. In other words, we tap into his strength. The other person on the yoke is Jesus. And we're tied to him. We tap into his strength to face and combat the trials of life. With him at our side, we can face anything, he's telling us. You can be yoked. To be yoked to Jesus Christ means that the Son of God pulls your load with you. That's what he's talking about. Take my yoke. I see your pain. I see your burden. Take my yoke so I can pull it with you. We can do it together. Together we'll make it. On your own, you can't. But take my yoke, and together, my strength will help you pull that load. And friends, I don't know about you, but I can't think a better way to face the pressures of my life than that, than having Jesus being next to me with his yoke and him pulling with me side by side. I was speaking to some people who were, two people actually, who were very ill, and one with very difficult family problems, and both of them said, how do people get by without Jesus? How did I get by without him? Their situations weren't solved or whatever. They still had pain and trouble, but they had rest in the knowledge that Jesus was pulling the yoke with them. So friends, if you're weary with your burden, what could be greater than to be yoked to Jesus Christ and have him pull that load with you? Have him pull it with you. I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. Bring your wounds. Bring your hurts. Bring your fears. Bring your regrets. Bring your disappointments. Bring your anxieties. Bring your inadequacies to me, Jesus says. Bring all that you're carrying with you right now. Bring the pressures and the perplexities of your life to me. I will give you a peace that passes all understanding, even in the midst of trouble. My peace I will give to you. Christ will give you rest. The rest is his gift to each one of us. Come to me. You come to me, he's saying. You walk with me and you will see. You will find rest. This is what you will experience. Doesn't mean you'll be trouble-free. It doesn't mean your faith will not be tested. It doesn't mean you will have bad times and you won't question God. But you can find rest in the knowledge that he's in control and that he'll pull the weight with you. I remember when some of you will know that moved to Putney for a couple of years, which in hindsight was a very good move, but at the time was a very confusing move. But in hindsight, it was an excellent move for Oakley, for me, it was all round. I can fill you in on that if you want another time. But I realised very soon, very quickly, that I needed to move on because there were certain things that I couldn't put up with or be a part of. I resigned a couple of times and was persuaded to withdraw my resignation. But on the third occasion, I refused, and I was going to see my resignation through. What that meant was, it threw confusion. Well, why, Lord, did you bring me here in the first place, if this is what's happening? And by resigning on the spot, what it meant was we had to be out of our home, I think, within a couple of months. Was it 2 months or 3 months? I can't remember. No, between 2 to 3 months. We had to be out because the vicarage was being sold. So we were faced in a situation where I had no job to go to, we had no home to go to, and Eloise had no school to go to because we drew her out of school. So her place had gone in the local school, so we couldn't keep her there. So there was no job, there was no home, and there was no school for Eloise. And it was the most testing time in our lives because we had nothing, and the clock was ticking. And through that, were we anxious? Yeah. Were we a little bit slightly, if we were only slightly restless initially? Yeah. Did we question what was going on? Yeah. But in the midst of all that, there was rest. And I remember saying to Jane, I don't know if she remembers, is that I said to her, look, we preach about faith, we teach about faith, and we encourage people, but this is put your money where your mouth is time. You know, that God is going to deliver, that God remains in control. And if God is in this, all these things, we haven't got it. We just need to rest in him. And all these things will just fall into place. We'll do what we can do, but we need to trust him. So there was this rest in the midst of all this upheaval, uncertainty, and turmoil, which was very real. But at the same time, there was a rest and a peace about it in that God remained in control. And we just kept saying, Lord, we trust you. We trust you. We don't understand, but we trust you. We trust you. And then I think within a week, towards the very end, almost up to the wire, within a week, it went boom, 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 boom. Job, house, school. Everything just fell into place within a week. So that's an example of what rest means. It doesn't mean the absence of trouble and pain and uncertainty in your life, but it just means saying, I trust the Lord of the storm. I trust you that you're going to bring me through. You're by my side. You're carrying the yoke with me here. And together, we can see this through. So resting in Jesus doesn't mean that all your cares will disappear. It means that you can rest knowing that ultimately, Jesus is carrying the load with you and that he remains in control of the situation. Bishop Ryle says, rest such as this is the privilege of all believers in Jesus Christ. Some know more of it and some less. Some feel it only at distant intervals and some feel it almost always. Few enjoy the sense of it without many a battle, without unbelief and many a conflict with fear. But all who truly come to Christ know something of this rest. And friends, I don't know about you, but I want to know more of this rest in my life daily. What about you? What about you? When you let the weight of your burden draw you nearer to the Saviour today, and as your load becomes heavier, you have more reasons to come to him. The more weary you become, the more you need to yoke yourself to Jesus Christ. This is a marvellous way to view the pressures and the challenges of your life. The more that you have, the more you need to yoke yourself, propel you to yoke yourself to Jesus Christ. So use the pressures in your life as a reason to draw near to Jesus Christ today. I remember once when I was going through a horrendous period in my life, and I just bumped into some friends, Christian friends that I hadn't seen for ages. And I told them of my circumstances and what had happened to me, thinking that they were going to be really sympathetic and really offer me some solutions and comfort. And his wife turns around to me and she said, you just concentrate on your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I thought, is that it? Is that the best you can get? She says, you just concentrate on your relationship with Jesus Christ. What she was saying to me, looking back, but it stuck with me. It just, you know, when something sticks, it just stuck with me. And that was what I made that my priority. In the midst of all the pain and uncertainty, that became my priority. But what she was actually saying to me, when you look back, is she was saying to me, you just yoke yourself to Jesus. Make that your priority in this situation. Yoke yourself to Jesus Christ. Use your pressures as a reason to draw closer to Jesus Christ. Come to me, he says. Come to me. Walk with me and you will find rest. This is what you will experience. Come to me. Receive. This is a gift, not something you can offer. It is something that I can impart to you. Can I invite you to stand, and I can invite Joe and Chris to come up. And I just want to invite, I'm going to go into our final hymn in a moment, but I just want to, some sort of response first from us all. I just want us, as Joe and Chris in a moment are going to play, I just want just to pause for a moment. And I just very simply, I think what I'd like us to do this morning, there'll be a ministry team to the side where people can come and pray for specific needs towards the end of the service, I think, today. But for now, I think what I want to do is just invite anybody here this morning who just wants more of this rest that we have just been speaking about, more of this rest that is actually a gift from Jesus Christ. It's a gift, something that he wants to give to you, not something that you earn or strive for. If you want something more of that rest this morning, can I invite you to come forward here at the front now so I can just quickly just pray that upon each one of you before we go into our final song.